What?
Don't be fooled by the knock knocks. Get the relief you deserve with Blue Emu's Lidacare Pain Relief Patches. Our narcotic-free, maximum-strength adhesion formula with dry technology won't have you worrying about a corny knock-knock joke anymore. Because pain is no joke. Find us at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
The lawsuit against Saudi Arabia on behalf of victims of 9/11 and their families? Moving forward, Chris Barnes has details.
They provided direct support. It wasn't just one or two rogue employees. There was a pattern of support and sympathy.
That's a lawyer for some 800 9/11 victims who are filing a lawsuit accusing Saudi Arabia of complicity in the terrorist attacks. Lawyer for the plaintiffs, Andrew Maloney, saying Saudi Arabia helped the terrorists commit them.
Many government officials were involved in supporting and conspiring with Al-Qaeda. They provided material support. They provided money. They provided logistical support.
The lawsuit's been filed in Manhattan federal court. I'm Chris Barnes.
It's sentencing day for a close friend of the South Carolina church gunman, Joey Meek, facing 27 months in prison for lying to the FBI. The same federal judge who presided over Dylan Roof's trial sentenced Meek for denying the Roof had shared plan to stage a massacre at a historically black church in Charleston. USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
Amazon.com trying to up the game when it comes to delivery. Here's Sharon Reed.
Next time you need something, ask Amazon's digital assistant.
Alexa, order more AA batteries.
Okay. And you might be able to get your order within a couple of hours. Amazon's telling its Prime Now customers that they can get two-hour delivery of tens of thousands of items ordered through Alexa. The initial stage of this two-hour delivery will not include bigger items or things like electronics. Alexa is competing with the device Google Home in the digital assistant market. Sharon Reed, New York.
A new report that outlines law enforcement agencies that could be endangering Americans, focusing on California. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The Golden State is mentioned in the new Decline Detainer Outcome Report, which is published by the Department of Homeland Security. The goal of the report is to highlight law enforcement agencies that are potentially endangering Americans by failing to cooperate with immigration enforcement. The report released Monday also mentions law enforcement agencies in 10 other states, including New York, Florida, and Illinois. Cities across California have declared themselves sanctuaries for those here illegally since Trump has been in office. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
Many Americans are not saving enough for retirement. A new report from the Employee Benefit Research Institute says nearly half of everyone surveyed has less than $25,000 saved for retirement. It also found that nearly 25% of people surveyed have less than $1,000 in retirement savings. USA Radio News.
Hello, it's Joe Peter sitting here with Phil, I got to learn how to pronounce your last name. Griner?
Phil Griner.
Griner.
Yes.
Phil Griner, mayor of Flemington, sitting with us tonight. We're going to talk a little about what's happening in Flemington, and we're also going to talk about some of the new decisions made in Flemington. But first, I'm going to play a little bit about the weather and a few paid commercials. I'll be right back. Very scientifically, I'm going to give you the weather forecast off my Android. It looks like I just passed two kids running under a sprinkler. That's what today's all about. I mean, I couldn't believe what I saw. It says 57 right now, and tomorrow it's going to be 36. The day after it's going to be 44, 48, 63. We're over it. I said that 2 weeks ago, and it snowed. So let me say, I hope we're over it. But We're going to have one or two more cool days, and then we're going to get back into more seasonal weather. I don't see any snow or rain for the rest of the week. Until you hit Sunday, it looks like we're going to get a few rain showers on Sunday. So that's what's happening weather-wise. Let me give you a little from what's happening with our paid sponsors, and I'll be right back.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
So hi, it's Joe Peters. I'm back with Phil Grainer, and I'm saying it right, Grainer?
Yes, you are.
Hey, I get an A for effort anyway. I always think names are so important, especially first names. Last names sometimes are difficult, but first names, I'm lucky I've got one named Peters, but my fiance is Lozinski or something. I can't even say it. So and then when she got married, it turned to wagon seller. So she stayed in the W's. But Grainer is, I always pronounce the second syllable, and that's usually a safe bet. So Phil,
I've heard all kinds of varieties about it.
Okay. You've been mayor now since 2015, yes. And your term runs for 3 years?
4 years.
4 years, ending in 2018.
So I've got another year and three quarters.
Yeah. So you're about half-time.
Right.
Half-time. And what did you do before you got in? How did you get here? I mean, that's where I'm coming from.
How did I get to be mayor?
You know, just how did you get to Flemington, and then how did you get to be mayor?
Well, my day job, if you will, Joe, was with AT&T. I worked there for 30 years as an employee, and then five more on a consulting basis. And when that ran out, I honestly didn't know exactly what I was going to do, but I did get asked to be on the planning board. That was in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got on planning board in 2005, was appointed to borough council for 1 year in 2007. Then I ran to get reelected, and I lost by 3 votes. So I went back on the planning board, sat out of council for 3 years. I didn't have any particular plans, but I did decide and got back in 2011. So
okay.
I've been on council since 2011, and I'm still on planning board since 2005.
Okay. So you got elected. What made you change from just being a member of the planning board to wanting to be the mayor? I know what I typically get involved, and I'm not political, and I'm not saying you are. It's usually when I don't see anybody else better to do the job, and I'd like to get it done right.
Interesting you would say that, Joe. If you would have asked me when I was working if I ever saw myself in politics, I would have said, you're crazy. I never envisioned it. And it just kind of happened, as it does.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got on council, I like to work hard at what I do, and I picked some areas that were interesting to me, like finance, and I got into some other areas just because they were assigned to me, and I dug in pretty deep, and I started to understand the finances of a town the way I think you should as an elected official, and just kind of one thing led to another. I can honestly say I never aspired to be the mayor.
Okay.
My decision to run came about within a fairly short period of time, and it was something I did in response, I think, to some circumstances and a need that I saw more than something that I ever really had seen for myself in the future.
Hmm. So I would think your getting started period of the mayor was a lot different than what the last 12 months were.
Yeah. When I first became the mayor, I came in with a vision that was pretty much based on things working with the tools we thought we'd have available for, let's say, getting Main Street going again. I don't think any of us, certainly not me, ever envisioned that we'd have a possibility of doing a redevelopment project like we're looking at now. That was
right.
A total game changer for me and everyone else to have that come along as an opportunity and decide how to handle it. So the job is a busy job even without that, and when you throw that into the mix, it's turned out to be full-time.
We just dropped the microphone. My apologies.
And mine too.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Second one, so
okay,
but it's picking you up, so we're in good shape.
Okay,
so what got accomplished in that first year? What would you say your first 12 months of accomplishments were?
Oh, the first year was great. I think of the highlight of that year as occurring right around that, right at the end of October. We had done a lot of things leading up to that. Can't even think of what all of them were now. We started working on selling the gas station property. We had been awarded the $1 million streetscape grant, which we're still about to get started with. We had a lot of momentum going, and we had also just had the Roger Brooks in town with the branding program. Mm. And I think the town was, in my opinion, was on a bit of a high at that point. That would be right around October 30th of 2015, toward the end of that first year. I think we got ourselves into a little bit of hot water. Got a lot of friction going right after Roger Brooks left town. You know, he told us that one of the things that'll kill off a branding or a marketing program is political infighting, and sure enough, we had some of that develop as there became a debate brewing about our business improvement district. And
right.
We did wind up making a change. We have a very good group going now, but that was a nasty kind of a protracted transition that I think drained a lot of the momentum.
Mm.
The branding program is really never did get underway. But about the same time, we started to get a glimpse of the redevelopment prospects too. So I think we shifted gears from branding to the redevelopment.
The emphasis behind the branding was to make Flemington a better known entity and destination.
Yes. And the real community discussion that took place as we talked about branding was pretty interesting, because the Brooks team got us to realize that while you're proud of your history, every town's proud of its history, and almost every town on the East Coast has a lot of history, and your history alone isn't going to do it for you. You have to have some things that are fun to do, not just nice to look at. And so he got us thinking in a new direction. You know, what would our branding be other than our historical architecture and recap of historical events? And I think right. That was a good discussion.
So it was a help. It wasn't a write-off. It achieved, in part, what it set out to achieve.
I think it did. I think it got us nudged in a new direction of how we would think about ourselves going forward. But unfortunately, we lost the momentum on the program with that change out, because it was the bid that had sponsored the branding,
okay.
And the friction around that, I think, was a pretty big turnoff to the Brooks team, too.
That's too bad. I wasn't involved at that point in time, so I understand the bid got dissolved and it got reinvented with a new name, and it's now called...
We now have a Flemington Community Partnership.
They're a
vibrant group. I think they're off to a very good start. They only came online July 1st of last year.
Okay.
They've got a good board, great executive director in Judy Goodwin, and I think that we'll see a lot of good programs.
Yeah,
from
I met
too.
Judy for the first time the other day at a kickoff for the Hack 100 and Hackathon, or Hack 100, and mm-hmm. I don't know what they're calling mm-hmm. it this week. It sounds like a great idea. I know when I was doing what I was doing, they were hiring, who turned out they was going to be the SEDS manager, but we dropped the SEDS name now, and it's Mark Salek. And mm-hmm. Mark and I sort of, we can't find enough time to talk to each other, and we both have limited time. And we actually, I found out he's an Eagles fan, and I'm a Giants season ticket holder, so one game a year he goes to the Eagles game with me at the Giants Stadium.
And you're still friends.
Yeah, we're still friends, but I wear blue, he wears green, I can forgive him. But... just for an example, the Leadership 100 program was eye-opening for me. I didn't know what it was, but I had heard about it, and it was pretty much of an investment, because Weikert, I'm a 1099 employee, as all white, any agent, any real estate agent is. So you might get some expense compensation, but not much. So I paid for it myself, and it wasn't minor. And I wasn't sure, and I got more out of it. It just changed my life. And Marilyn says, you're going to be the mayor or something sooner. I said, no, I have absolutely no political aspirations, whatever, but I want to make a difference. And I see what the problems are with Hunterdon County, and I am just thrilled to life to be in the middle of it. And at the same time, my business at the high end has dropped off because we're not selling higher priced houses the way we used to. So more than half of my business is in Somerset County. And I found out that Somerset County has a Leadership Somerset. So I just missed a cut for it this year, but next year I'm going to go for the Leadership Somerset program and get more involved in Somerset County as well. The big differences between, I've said this 100 times, if you want to turn left at the horses and right at the cows, you got to be in Hunterdon County. Right where the two counties meet, they look identical. But the further west you go, the more bucolic it is.
Yeah.
So the further to the west, the more land you're going to get and the less you're going to pay for it. And the higher the price point, the less your house went up last year because the higher price houses just aren't appreciating. I work with Jeff Otto, who you see on TV, but he has this Ask Jeff program. He worked with me on the Hunterdon, on the Leadership Hunterdon project last year because we were trying to find workforce housing, something between COA and what we sell to normal people. I shouldn't use the word normal, but if you're going to be in assistant management at Roy Rogers, you need a place to live, and right. We don't necessarily have something you can afford here. So that's what we were trying to find. And making sure you had the medical and the things to do, movie theaters, never got to that. But I came away saying to myself, we do have a situation here in Hunterdon County that's really unique. We have a beautiful place to live, and nobody really wants to leave, but we have a declining population. We're having a very difficult time keeping the millennials once they get their four-year education. As a matter of fact, we're educating them right out of the county. I sat with Mike Madonna and talked with him about this, and he said, but, you know, that's what they want to do. You can't, and I agree. But, you know, he's just a two-year college. If you stopped right there, we have the jobs. We're a $20 society, $20 an hour society, and a four-year college grad is a $40 an hour society. And they're going to go to New York or Newark, the New York, somewhere in there and live in Hoboken. So We're not retaining the millennials. We're educating them right out of the county. We do have a great education program for the work trade, for the trades, I would call it. And then we're losing the seniors out the Everdoor. They're either going just into Pennsylvania or down to Delaware. So the people in the middle, which are like from 35 to 65, which I'm in the middle of, well, I'm at past the 65 point at this point, but they're just getting older. And there's nothing wrong with that. Beats the alternative, as people says. But that's where our economy is. And I look and say, what happened? I had this talk with John Fato about it. I said, we're going to do this technology thing. He's shaking his head no. I said, we're going to do the tourism thing, and he's saying all of that's a help. It's not going to change it. And I'm saying, because if we can slow it down, he says, I'll give you that. And other counties have done a very good job at slowing it down. The ones closer to New York, the much better. They've slowed it down. He says, what you need that you don't have is mass transportation. You do need some jobs out there so some people can work there, and we don't have a lot of that. And you need to stop what's happening at the lower end, and I don't know how you're going to stop it. So he wasn't very optimistic, but I talked to Mark about it afterwards, and he said, you, like I, Joe, believe we can do it, but we've got to do it in baby steps and get it going. So this hackathon thing looks really interesting. I'm not sure, even coming out of technology, what he's really talking about with this project, but it sounds like a fun project, so I got involved. And I found one of the other things from the Leadership Hunter program, and I'm talking, it should be you, is that I find I'm cross-pollinating. I find somebody who started a technology business here but needs people, and I find somebody who's got a people business that has all the contacts in the county. I'm introducing them to each other, and they're forming affinities where they can go forward together and getting them into things like the Hunterdon Hackathon, it's called, but the site is hackhunterdon.com if you want to read about it.
Right.
Have you heard much about that project?
Well, I followed it both from our FCP is working on it along with the county, and okay. I think it's an exciting thing to do. I think that when you are trying to reinvigorate yourself, like we are in Flemington and even throughout the county, I've never felt that you can just sit down and write a plan and execute a plan. It's not that simple. I think you have to sow seeds all over the place. Try this, try that, right. See what works. Some of the things will work. One of the examples I can point to right here in Flemington is over in the Stangle Road area. You know, they rebuilt the pottery factory, got some businesses in there. Pretty soon the stores across the street filled up.
Yep.
The Lone Eagle Brewery's opened up. Yep. And before you know it, we've got a little growth engine going over there. You can't park there at night without having to drive way down the road.
Well, and that is
it was never planned. It just happened. And so that's how I think that it works.
Right.
Yeah, I think it works that way. So we'll try the Hack Hunterdon. If it works, great. If it doesn't, well, maybe we'll try it again with a different shade and
see
how that works.
But I will tell you, they took me through the grain mill, is it called, where they met?
Feed Mill Plaza.
Feed Mill Plaza. There were two companies in there that I didn't know existed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a .com and worked in Austin, Texas for 2 years in one of the highest flying companies at the point. We were the 14th fastest growing company at that point in time, and out of business 2 years later with the .bomb. But I said, this is Austin, Texas. I can't believe this is what we went through. We had people having fun at work. They had beer and wine and food on board. And you never had to go home. Total valet services. They watched your kids. We were trying to steal the engineers away from Dell, the Dell computer. Mm-hmm. They called them Dellionaires because they all had made a million with Dell. It reminded me of it. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. We've got a little bit of it. We need a lot of it, and or more of it anyway.
Yeah, we do. We do, and you know, we think that we're trying to get some spark going on Main Street. Stangle Road is great, and we want them to do well. We'd like to see Main Street do well and tie it in through the Fulper Road with a link there. And before you know it, you start getting a walkable community with more than one thriving area to it.
One of the things they encouraged us to do as we finished Leadership Hunterdon was get involved in the county somewhere. I didn't get out of the building, and Susan Lax had me. I went to interview her, and she said, we need somebody on the board, and you look like you could. So anyway, I'm on the board. It's sort of a, I love it. I love what I do, but it's sort of a glorified help us make money position, which most nonprofit, not-for-profits
sure.
are. But I never did the salsa night till I never even came to it. What a night! I mean, this town rocks when it's salsa night. I understand this year we're going to be down on Stengel Road because they're going to do some construction here.
Yeah. That's another one, you know. It started out of nowhere. I don't remember exactly how long ago, 6-7 years ago, something like that. And, you know, a number of events have started, and that one's one that's just rocked ever since it got going.
And it helps because the Hunterdon helpline needs the funds from it, so it makes some money. It brings the people together in the community. We have a large Hispanic community here in Flemington. It brings that community together.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised that people are coming from the river towns, which is where most of the rest of our Spanish communities are. But it's a neat place, yet it comes and it goes. And then we've got 364 more nights of it being sort of sedate Flemington. So when this project came along, I think it caught a lot of people's imagination. Mm-hmm. Talk a little about Jack Cust. I think most people don't know what else he's done for the county.
Well, I don't know if I know more than what most people do about that. I've only come to get to know him really through this current project.
Okay.
Everything we've seen that he's done has gone well. You know, everyone knows about Health Quest and the Baseball Academy, Diamond Nation. They do say they pull about 500,000 people from all around the region and the country into there. So it's been a successful venture. I understand he was instrumental in getting the Somerset Patriots team established and going, although
I don't
have firsthand knowledge about that. But yeah, he was involved with that. And then of course there are the Buffalo Wild Wings
Right.
I think there's a few of those that he owns, but I think he's got more than that, but I honestly don't know what it is. My dealings have been pretty limited.
He seems to
have
his thumb on the pulse of the county, and he seems to succeed in what he does. I mean, Brian Miller, who works for the Paylink, I'm trying to think of the name of his company. He was on the leadership program with me, and they do payroll personnel management.
Mm-hmm.
He said he sort of helps them bring teams in. He says, Joe, we bring 1,500 teams in for two nights. They eat here 3 days and spend two nights in a hotel. That's what Diamond Nation did. And then when Brian was the first one to start talking about this, he said to me, what they're talking about doing in downtown Flemington, it just takes us to the next level. Let's mm-hmm. bring some people into the place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we decided with Leadership Hunterdon that our only natural resource is our bucolic nature, our farms, our wineries, our, we call it agritourism, bring people in mm-hmm. for the agriculture, try to get them to stay overnight and fall in love with the place. We built our study around that. How do you bring people here? But this is more than that. This is, they're talking about, and I know this, some of the audience is sitting out there saying, yeah, but you missed it. We're going to cover that too a little bit. But they're talking about a hotel to replace a hotel that will simply fall down if we don't do anything about it. I mean, I, for one, drove around the back of the hotel and parked and looked at it about a year ago. And I said, it looks like the hotel from It's a Wonderful Life. The windows are broken. Mm-hmm. It's sagging. If nothing happens, I watched a program last night on PBS about towns that nature took back. And Detroit's one of them. The old yeah. steel, the old oil mills are caving in because trees are growing through and people are stealing the plumbing out of it and the water is corroding the steel and the steel is corroding the cement and they're just coming down into dust. And I think if we left that hotel, what's the last time it was occupied? Was 04?
Well, it went totally dark in 2008.
Eight, okay.
Yeah, but the upper three floors had been vacant for decades going back, I think, to the 1950s.
Okay.
So you only had one floor. Yeah, you only had one floor operating to try to support a really large building. So the top three floors had deteriorated. I've been through them, but not for several years. Even before the water damage set in, the plaster was coming off the walls. Those would have had to have been probably knocked out and rebuilt anyway on the inside.
Okay.
We hear various reports about it. I've seen a mold report prepared by an environmental consultant that's really pretty bad in there right now. And there are differing opinions. There are some structural folks who say that the building is, despite all the problems, that you can save it. And personally, I don't really dispute that you can save it. I think the question is, who's going to do it?
Yes.
That's always been the problem. And we've had six indicators, as I look at them, that says that it's not easy to, it's not economically viable to fix it. And that's the missing link. It's not that you can't do it. It's who's going to do it, who's right. willing to do it.
Simple. I remember saying to my children, who are now grown adults, my favorite age, grown and gone, I say to them, where's the money going to come from to do this? It's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that these are childish thoughts, because I, for one, think it's a beautiful building. And I can remember mm-hmm. sitting on the balcony having drinks with the Caspers when I first moved here. They're sort of second cousins to us, and they brought us downtown Flemington. And it was gorgeous. It was just a wonderful night. But where's it going to come from? I think you said there was something like well over $1 million just in mold remediation the first time we talked.
That's what we understand, yes.
Yeah. And yes. That doesn't fix the infrastructure, whatever you want to call it. And then you got to put a business plan together and get people. And those last 4 years, it was just the ground floor being used?
Just the ground floor.
So it wasn't a hotel anyway. It was a bar and a restaurant.
Right. It was just a bar and a restaurant on the first floor. There was one open area upstairs that the owner of the place used, but he just had a desk and a file cabinet in there.
Okay.
It wasn't actually an office other than just a place to park yourself for a couple hours and do office work. But for practical purposes, the top three floors were completely unused
for decades, for many decades.
So then there were several failed attempts about rejuvenating it. I remember people bought it. They bought liquor licenses, but it never seemed to get off. Did it run out of money or run out of...
Yeah, it just was too expensive for anyone to see how they could do it and make money at it.
Right.
You know, the original owners in 2007, that was the year I was off the planning board, but the owners at that time went to the planning board and had ideas to refurbish it. And, of course, I think everyone would have loved to have seen that, including the planning board. But they dropped it when they pursued it further to see how much it was really going to cost and how they would deal with other issues like parking. So that didn't get anywhere. Then we had word from another developer later that you're not going to get any interest in this place without some financial incentives because it's too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a second indicator. So we did declare the area to be in need of redevelopment, and we went out and got the RFPs, got in a number of proposals. We interviewed them, narrowed that down, and the town was unanimous about who they wanted to be picked. It was not the party that the council felt was the best able to do it, but be that as it may, we did pick a designated developer, and they were not able to acquire the properties. So after about a year, we realized that wasn't going anywhere. So we got another second designated developer after issuing another RFP and doing the same process a second time. And they did acquire some properties, but they realized that the hotel itself was not going to be an economically viable project. So it was from them that we got the idea of expanding to take in some of the rest of the block, thinking that the larger project would better support the hotel and be financeable. So that designated developer then went down that road of the expanded area, brought in a large company from Bridgewater. That company looked at it and said, well, do we have to keep the buildings? And at the time, we said, well, yeah, you know, we've never thought about taking these buildings down. So they said, well, we'll see you later.
Adios.
So that was the fifth indicator that it wasn't going to be easy. And then the way I look at it, the sixth indicator is that Mr. Cuss looked at it, too, in the early whatever he was looking at up front, and he decided, too, that this is not a viable project. So so there you have it. We've had six indicators that it's not economically feasible to do the hotel. Some folks, the opponents of the project, they feel like we missed the boat by not going out to get RFPs another round of RFPs for the whole block. And I understand the point of view. We would eventually have done that. But the proposal that we have in front of us came in to us before we did that, and it looked like it provided so many a solution to so many problems that we felt it was the right thing to go with it. You know, one of the pieces of what I call that integrated solution is that it comes with a developer who's got the money and the know-how to get the job done, and that's been such an important missing link.
Right.
From the prior attempts.
So we've been through the RFP process, and I've done that all my life in industry, looking for bids, and we found somebody who responded in part to that but came back to us with a comprehensive plan that we hadn't even conceived. When did that plan first raise its head?
Well, the first that we saw it as municipal officials was late in, that would have been late 2015. It turns out that I think, to our surprise, some other folks had seen it first. I think the county people had already seen it. Some folks at the medical center and Raritan Valley Community College had already seen it before we saw it. So a lot of thought had already gone into it. Mm-hmm. And you could tell, it was more than just a concept already.
Right.
It was a fairly well thought out
plan by the time it even came to us.
So when it came, it was like 12 months ago, or was it further back?
It was late. We started previewing it late in 2015.
Okay.
We let our council people go through a few at a time, and then planning board people and historic commission members. We let everybody see it to get an initial read before we started to go public with it. Up to that point, all we knew, or at least all I knew, we knew that Jack Cust had bought the liquor license, so you'd figure he's going to do something with it, but right. We didn't know what that was until mm-hmm. we saw the purpose.
So a year went by from late 15 to very early 17, 15 months maybe, and we went through a lot of banter back and forth, back and forth, mm-hmm. back and forth. I know, like, for instance, the Chamber came out and backed the project.
Right.
But I sat at a very contentious meeting that you chaired a week ago Monday, and it was, I think I told you earlier, it was uncomfortable for me. I mean, it was a lot of not only hostile feelings, but very nasty feelings. And I just didn't – I've come out of the corporate world, and I realize – you don't need to be nasty to get your point across. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to lose if you're nasty. You can get mm-hmm. your point across, but you got to convince the other side. But long story short, to the end of the meeting, it got passed unanimously. They did get their day in court, and I empathize with them because I think their points were well taken. There was just no alternative put in place of, well, what else can we do here? And it's a project, as you said, as a mass infusion into Flemington that has no competition. It's not like there's three people vying for it. There's one person with it.
That's right. And, you know, if we did go out, if in hindsight we had gone out for an RFP, or if things still don't work out with this and we wind up going out for an RFP, that doesn't really it might solve your problems, but there is absolutely no guarantee that it will. For starters, we're more aware than ever of what the financial difficulties are now that we've been through so many indicators and seen the problems with these other alternatives. If we do get proposals in, you'll still have the same concerns that people bring up now, which is, well, how do you know the developer is able to do it? What are their finances? What kind of guarantees can you give us so that we can feel that there's no way that it won't work? You'll still have those. In my opinion, you would be having those with a developer that you know a lot less well than this developer.
Right.
This Mr. Cust is a local. He's a local guy. He's got credentials. He's got resources, know-how, and a good track record. With somebody else that people say we should go out, look, you know, get national attention for this. That's fine, but if we get builders from Phoenix or San Francisco, you know, we'll still be asking the same questions. You know, how can you guarantee that this will work?
Well, and I know I get a lot of times, and it's usually the attorneys done in a real estate environment, especially younger first-time buyers, will say, I want 100% guarantee. And the mm-hmm. attorney will say, there is no 100% guarantee on this or in anything in life. Grow up a little bit. It's a calculated risk. You're going to do your due diligence, and when you're convinced, then you move forward.
Right.
If you're not convinced, don't move forward. That's your decision point. But it seems to me that the due diligence was done to the point where we've now approved the go-ahead. What happens over the next? It sounds like it's 24 months before we even break ground from what I read today.
I would estimate that it's 9 to 24 months, depending on how long various steps take. There are a lot of things that have to be done leading up to actual construction. They involve some state agency approvals. They involve several steps through the local planning board. Other things that council will have to adopt, such as council and planning board will work together to expand the redevelopment area to include a couple of the properties owned by Flemington Furs that are part of this project. Then we have to amend the redevelopment plan to reflect this
current proposal as opposed to back in the old hotel days, which is the, I guess, the plan of record at this point. And then you have to go through the planning board site application. So all those things have to happen locally. Then we have to get various state approvals for, we have to get one from the Historic Preservation Office. And we will, of course, continue to work on the with the folks at the DEP on the water supply, which we have been working with them on that.
So is there somebody assigned to ramrodding this here in Flemington, or is it being done by the developer and we're responding to the next steps?
Well, we each have our parts to play. If you, we have a fairly detailed timeline with a couple dozen events laid out. It's Schedule B of the redeveloper agreement, which is available online through our website. And if you chart those out graphically, you can see who does what. So the developer has his things to ramrod, if you will, and we have ours. Yeah. There are a few points. There are several points where they come together. For example, we still have to negotiate the details of a pilot agreement for the financial payment to the borough, and we will have to adopt the other things that I already mentioned, and we have to get state approval. So, and then, of course, the developer has to complete the property acquisition. So, as I said, they have things to do. We have things to do.
But it's rolling.
Yes.
There's rolling.
Yes.
And do you have like a monthly meeting to status this?
Well, we will. We're until now, we've most of our efforts, not all, but most of our efforts have focused on getting the redeveloper agreement done.
Right.
That's a big milestone, and that enables us now to officially get going on these other things, which we couldn't do until we had that in place.
So if things were perfect, then it's not a perfect world. The good news was the same fellow, Jeff Otto, was calling for a recession at the end of 18, is now saying since the election it's off the boards, we're going in the right direction.
I hope so.
The market says so, although it was down a little today. 2 years from now, we could be looking across the street and seeing a hotel either halfway up or up, and behind it a parking garage, and that goes underground, and then there's some retail and some restaurant space, and then there's a dividing mall, and then phase two is to the right of that dividing wall, which will be the apartments and the hospital and the education, if I remember right.
Yes, that would be across Spring Street.
Yep.
Yes, where Flemington Furs is now. That's right. It's in two phases. Yeah. So we allow we're allowing 24 months. Once construction starts, we allow 24 months for phase one to be built, and then expect the third year to finish up the third phase.
Interesting.
The second phase. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
the second
phase. I thought maybe I was understanding. So when do we start seeing money or economy pluses from this? I would think from the first nail going into a board or a brick being taken out of a wall, there's labor being spent.
Well, immediately, since no construction is going to start, I think immediately what might translate into some economic benefit is that people who have businesses on Main Street, as their leases come up, they always have to make a decision about do I want to stay or don't I want to stay. I think that seeing this project move forward will encourage people to want to stay.
To keep their
for one thing. Yeah, I think that they will. One of the elements of the business case, if you will, as I look at it from the town's point of view, is that I think that nearby businesses will benefit from it. Some new businesses might come in, try to get in while real estate's as cheap as it is.
Right.
And so those could be things that we see right away.
That would be very interesting because, I mean, one of the points made was there's no liquor license on Main Street.
Right.
I think Matt's Red Rooster might have one, or maybe that's a bring-your-own-bottle. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's a winery arrangement.
Okay. So, you know, if you want fine dining, it's bring-your-own-bottle. You just can't come here at the dinner. And there's really no great place to park, and it's kind of dark. And it's still a great place to come. We come ourselves, but it's not drawing people from out of the area.
So if the businesses that are here stay and more come, that's an initial 6 to 12 months. Then when construction starts, there's lots of opportunity for additional mm-hmm. labor-based jobs going on. And then within 24 months from there, it starts to happen.
Right.
What is the total magnitude of the investment? I heard $80 million once. Is that still a good number?
70 to 80 is the range that we understand it'll be, yeah.
And is there a calculated impact on the economy that it'll have over its life?
It'll be good.
Yeah.
Quantitatively, no. And I can tell you, I know that you can go out and get studies like that done, but right. frankly, there are so many things that can happen that cause results to be different from the studies that my view is when I am confident that it will be a good benefit to the town, if you tell me it's going to help us by 1 million or 2 million, doesn't matter. It'll be a good project. It'll help, I think it'll help in many dimensions.
Well, it's a leap of faith to some extent, but it's a calculated leap of faith. I've got to commend the whole board. Just sitting there that night and watching you have the belief and faith to pass this unanimously after that. I wouldn't say it was contentious. It was one-sided and nasty confrontation that was going on. I said to Chris on the way out, we did what we had to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I think most people that were for it felt without making a lot of noise. And the people against it, I mean, Jack has said he will spend lots of money putting up a facade to make the hotel look somewhat like the old hotel. And their point is not missed. Their point, came from the heart.
Yes, they're sincere in their belief, and I get that. I like the charm of old buildings, too. And when you can go in places like the French Town Inn or what was then the Milford Oyster House, you have these fabulous places. You go into a restaurant. It's definitely a charm and an attraction, and I totally get that.
Right.
You have to deal with choices that are in front of you, and that's how we find ourselves. One thing we're blessed with in Flemington, as I look out the window where I sit right now, I'm looking across the street at some beautiful buildings. And one thing I can say without too much reservation is if I'm walking down Main Street from here to that block, the buildings between here and there, in my opinion, look better than what's in that block. Yeah. They're beautiful, and they'll still be here.
And I invite anybody to do what I did and just drive around to the Flemington Fur side of that back of the building and sit there and look at it for 5 minutes. And I just shook my head. I said, there's nothing mm-hmm. here to save.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once again, I love old buildings, and I love old cars, and I love lots of things. But I also would like to see the stop of the erosion that's happening in this county. And from a real estate viewpoint, I'm seeing it. And I had the conversation with Jeff Otto about that. I said, I don't think we're going to be able to sell a house over $600,000 in 2 or 3 years the way things are going. He says, I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you don't have the train stations. This is what people want. You don't have the proximity to New York. You don't have the jobs. And we don't have sewers and we don't have water. So, you know, we're missing a lot of things.
Right.
This, I can't say we should look at it as the only thing that can help us, but this looks like one of the things that can help us.
Right. It's not the only thing. We know it doesn't have an ice rink or a movie theater people can always say, but we still won't have this or we won't have that. And I know, but it's a significant step. You don't know exactly where it will lead. You know, you mentioned the mass transit. There have been discussions going on our behalf with the county and the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority for a long time about the possibility of getting rail service back into Flemington. Now, that's a ways down the road. There are no immediate plans to restore it. But one thing we did learn is that they don't put the train in until they think there is ridership.
Right.
They're not going to put it in and hope that you get ridership.
Right.
So in talking with them about the ridership notion, we said, well, it makes more sense to start out maybe with some bus service see, you know, demonstrate that you have people who want to get from here to Somerville,
yep,
or to the college, places like that. And there has been some expansion of the link service to that end, by the way. But something like this will help there too. You'll have more people here now. You'll have a bigger base, and who knows? It might eventually help get us to the point where you might get the mass transit that would really help the region.
I think, you know, I saw what they did with the HART system last year, the link system, that getting some daily commutation links between here and Bridgewater Mall, tying one link with another.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was an amazing step forward. I don't know how successful it's been, but it stops at RVCC. And mm-hmm. to me, that's an important mode. You can go to RVCC if your grades are good enough for free almost. I mean, it's a pretty inexpensive school.
Right.
And if you in high school get good enough grades, you can go to RVCC on a scholarship. And if you do good enough in RVCC, carry 3.75, you can go to a four-year college for free, which is like California, but we're New Jersey. And there's plenty of opportunity, and this is one step in that right direction. So I think what you're saying that I'm hearing is one thing leads to another, and this is one of the things that can lead to getting mass transportation on a railroad train or bus or whatever basis back into the area. We're down to with 2 minutes left, Bill. How would you like to cover that last 2 minutes?
Wow. Just 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm optimistic for Flemington. I ran for mayor because I felt like we do have potential here. We've got smart people, talented people. We've got people who are willing and do volunteer. And
right.
we recognize those every year in January. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And it's always uplifting to me to see how many people do want to get out. You know, one of the things I love about the small town is as the mayor or elected official, you can get to know the people and you get a personal connection. And I feel good about it. I feel optimistic about it. And it doesn't bother me in the least that you don't have a plan that takes you every step of the way from point A to point B, as long as you are doing things that are the right things one step at a time. The future will unfold, and I'm confident it will unfold well.
This is sort of the Joe Peters theory of project control. It's like sweeping a floor. You don't take one piece and take it all the way to the destination. You push everything in a general direction, and eventually it starts to go on its own, and you add some more to it, and that's called momentum.
And it's exciting to watch it unfold. It would be boring. It would be boring if every day you got up and you said, well, this is day 382 of the plan, so I know exactly what's going to happen. I don't want to know exactly what's going to happen.
Good.
Let it happen.
Beautiful. Phil, I really appreciate you coming on. I'd like to invite you back every 3 months or so, and maybe we can do a recap on an ongoing basis. I will make sure this is available for replay, and thanks again.
Okay, Joe. Thank you for having me.
And I'm going to sign off. This is Joe Peters. We'll be back next week with our county surrogate to talk about what the surrogate's office does. And if you ever want to know about filing a will, that's the one you want to listen to. I will play one commercial and we're out of here. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own.
Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.